searching desperately for their first win of the season. Rankin, Keys, Berry, he's got it! The sub becomes the hero!
My goodness, 15 in front, Declan Bates goes for the whip. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny and the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. My oh my!
Gazaris, the cross back post, Kaczarski!
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast. Here's your hosts, Jared Middleton, Laurie Daly and Matthew Burke.
Morning all, Monday, April 15, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you're listening. I hope you had a good weekend and we've got the Masters on Sunday at Augusta National, Scotty Scheffler. How do they run him down? 7 under par. He's even through four holes. As far as the two Aussies in contention are concerned, Cam Smith, 1 under through seven holes. 2 under for the tournament. 5 shots off the pace. Cam Davis is 2 over through seven holes and even par for the tournament. So Smith looks, if there's going to be a miracle Australian victory, Smith is the chance, and he hold out from the bunker on 2 for eagle. And it looked very promising, but then he's bogeyed the 5th. So he's going to try and have to go on a birdie run as he gets towards the back 9 here on a, it's a beautiful day there at Augusta. And Berkey, great to have you in the studio with us this morning. How are you, mate?
Morning, Middo. Pardon me. Morning, Middo. The voice is still a bit hoarse from screaming at the Waratahs on Friday night. I was then at my daughter's rugby on the weekend, trying to give it, inverted commas, advice from the sideline. But just a good weekend of sport, wasn't it? Like, there was so much on. Obviously, this culminating the final round at Augusta, and it's just been, it's interesting. I've listened to a couple of stories from Min Woo Lee, or a couple of interviews saying just brutal, like, you know, 2 foot putts that I'm getting worried about. And he does that every day of the week. He said, and there's been a couple of interesting articles about how the punters would go on there. And, can they break 80? Can they break 90? And you're looking at here now, and the wind that they've had the last couple of days, it's been quite incredible. It looked like a local golf course with the amount of, leaves that have blown across there. But it's great to watch plenty to unfold still. Good bit of action on rugby league on the weekend, AFL. Lots of fun to watch.
Lozza, morning.
Morning, boys. Condolences to everyone involved in the dreadful drama that occurred on Saturday out there at Bondi. I just want to say that. I felt sick over the weekend when I heard that news. And to everyone that has been affected, condolences to you, and hopefully you're doing the best you possibly can. It was certainly sad news over the weekend when that news filtered through. But I'm just hoping that all families and people that are struggling are doing it okay today.
Yeah.
The football on the weekend, there was some good football. I was away. I was in Tumut for the weekend. I had my 6th to 60th. So that was a good couple of days. And then came back last night and the Raiders, they had that game won a number of times, and then with 4 minutes to go, they did everything they possibly could to lose it.
They're amazing to watch, aren't they, at times?
Oh, they are. They just...
It's 20 to 10 it's never minutes easy. To 5 minutes to go.
It's never easy. It's they dropped balls. Easy. They couldn't kick. They just missed tackles. But anyway, they found a way to go. Found a way to win.
Do you ride it, Loz, as well?
Have
you sort of got past that stage now?
Well, no, I'm not as bad as what some people are when they watch their football team.
Right.
Like, if they do something well, I'm very calm. But the tighter the game is, and if the error happens, I do let out an expletive every now and again. but I'm not sort of riding it like... I've got a fanatical mate who just changes into a different person when he watches the AFL, when he watches his team play. Yeah. I don't know what happens.
Next level.
Just next level.
Yeah, right.
But for me, now I watch it okay. But if it's tight and they start to make some errors, yeah, I might get a bit
rattled. A bit frustrated.
Yeah.
Desi's blown up about the refereeing in the post-match media conference as well. And pointed to a potential offside. He goes, I think it was probably a good metre offside. He's talking about the Kieran Foran and his field goal attempt being charged down. And he said, I think there was merit to review it. Well, Ricky Stewart had his own response. Basically said Dez is on another planet when he was asked about what he thought of, what he was obviously told about Dez Hasler's comments about the referee. So there was an expletive in there as well. Classic Ricky. But 21-20, Jamal Fogarty with the field goal in the end. And it came after a great break from Ethan Strange. This is right at the end of extra time too. So it looks like we're heading for our second draw of the weekend. And Kieran Foran's charge down came after AJ Brimson. He put the visitors in great field position, didn't he? With a good break just before that. But Chevy Stewart, Loz, was pretty strong on debut. Zach Hosking, a dislocated shoulder. And certainly they left Tanner Board out, and having Brimson closer on the ball was the right decision for the Titans. They've got to get him more ball. He was dangerous, wasn't he, last
night? Yeah, he was great when he was around the ball. And every time he touched it, he's just got such a strong running game, AJ Brimson. They were a different side last night, the Titans, what we've seen so far this year. You could tell right from the get-go, even when the Raiders were in front, you knew that they just had this never-say-die attitude and they weren't going away. And basically, it was like they've committed to winning this game and nothing other than a win was going to satisfy them. I thought they played some good football, some tough football at times. They pushed the envelope. And at the end, they frustrated the Raiders a little bit, but the Raiders were able to find ways at the death to get themselves back into the contest, in particular in Golden Point, because the momentum was with the Titans. Once they were able to score those points in those last 4 minutes, you just got the feeling that the Titans were going to win. But the Raiders, they hung tough. Jamal made a big blue towards the end of the game with that ordinary kick when all he needed to do was kick it down the other end. I think there was 2 minutes to go or something. But anyway, he bounced back, kicked the field goal and got the Raiders home. And they're currently sitting in the top four after six rounds. So not many people expected that. They got some tough games coming up. But yeah, the Titans, if they put in that type of effort, they'll win a couple of games. So I was really concerned about the Titans after the first four or 5 weeks because I'm thinking, geez, where's their first win coming from? But, you know, off the back of the Cowboys' effort last week, got themselves back into that contest. Again last night, they were a lot better. So I think there's a few wins around the corner for the Titans.
I reckon they're still asking for it, though. Where are the wins going to come from? I mean, it's interesting you talk about the last couple of minutes then. You know, when teams have to throw caution to the wind and they play with that sort of, you know, shackles free type number. I suppose that the great thing about teams and winning teams, they can do that from the start. They can play.
Yeah,
you know, when it's desperate at the end there. And you're right, momentum is everything in those games. But errors, same thing again. Errors, confidence. I would hate to imagine what the change room is like, you know, when Desi's spraying at the moment. You know, there's already talk about pressure with him as well. Like, you know, you need that. You just need to buy a win somehow, don't you? It's quite incredible.
Well, just watching Cam Smith there on 8. And it looks like he is hit out of a just precarious position just to get back on the fairway. And he's only hit it like 10 yards, so he must have had the worst lie you've ever seen. So not good. Gee, just sobering course, isn't it, though? On the Sunday.
Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't. Love to. Everyone says it's way more hilly than you think.
Everything I've read, I read something the other day of that, where the press get the games afterwards. They play Monday morning, the same setup as Sunday, and it's just brutal. Oh. Could you imagine the amount of times you'd be chipping out?
Oh. Amongst everything else. Shots like where Cam Smith was just there. And you mentioned it off the top, but you were at the Waratahs on Friday night, 43-40.
Tell you what, defence wasn't a priority on Friday night. Like you said then, Loz, about finding a win. You know, Will Harrison comes on, knocks a penalty over, takes it to what is Golden Point, and then slots a field goal. And you could just see the emotion, the relief. I think you'd see the relief in the crowd as well that they got there, and it means so much for the organisation, purely for the win. But the flow-on effect with that. I mean, the crowd numbers and the rest of it. I mean, it's all encompassing when your team wins. And after they scored, the Crusaders scored in about the first, I think it was a minute, 2 minutes. You're thinking, wow, the floodgates opened already. Sevu Reese, the Kiwi winger, who's All Blacks winger, he is just phenomenal. Like, he's just got jet shoes personified. So a good win for our guys. You could call it a lucky win, but you'll take the win, having not had many too many this year.
1-2, lost 6, both wins against the Crusaders.
Yeah, the Bunnies.
Incredible.
Yeah, how good.
Who have won one game all season.
Isn't that incredible?
Bizarre.
That is absolutely incredible.
For a team that's been so dominant for so long, the other results of note for Australian teams, the Reds, they lost to Moana Pacifica, 17-14.
Two red cards in that game.
Yes. That hurts.
Two red cards.
And the Rebels.
They're flying.
Beat the Highlanders, 47-31. So we're beating New Zealand teams more regularly, aren't we, this year?
We are. And the Rebels are sitting about, well, they're inside the top six at least. Yeah, Brumbies continue their ways. They're just you know, stock standard, sort of, you know, pushing their way through. Force are struggling a bit in regards to be able to compete. But the Force, with all the, pardon me, the Rebels, with all the dramas that are happening there, they seem to be bonding as a team and thinking, you know, let's just get this done. So good luck to them.
Loz, Queen Elizabeth Stakes, have we seen anything quite like it? Pride of Jenny and Declan Bates. It was unbelievable to watch, wasn't it? Incredible.
When it was unfolding, and again, there's a lot more people smarter than me about racing. I was saying, they can't catch her. They just can't catch her. And it proved to be true.
You did have the feeling the whole way, didn't you?
You were never thinking she was going to come back. Well, I didn't. I was saying to the people that I was with, the family I was with, I said, she'll win this for sure now. And again, I don't know what to think because I was highly critical of the jockeys.
Yeah, I think they were all just waiting for to see who was going to tack up, basically. And no one
did. No one did. And they just handed it to her on a plate. But well done to her.
Yeah.
And she's actually proving herself to be a really good horse.
Very good.
Really, really good horse. But I just thought they had needed to be a bit closer.
Hindsight tells you that, for sure.
I don't know what the reaction was after the race, like what the jockey said. Did they say they needed
James McDonald gave one word, embarrassing. But
someone
in what context?
Yeah, but I think someone needed to, well, I don't know. Was there any horse that was prepared to do it? Go forward.
Well, there wasn't. And you know, stewards made inquiries to the jockeys. I think Craig Williams was asked why he didn't tack up. But, you know, they wanted to ride Mr. Brightside more quiet anyway.
Yeah, didn't they get in trouble?
Heavily debated ago. After its previous run, you know, whether he was too close, to Pride of Jenny.
Jeez,
this
just
time you ride, you know.
In a Group 1, you don't expect that.
No.
Or maybe in a Melbourne Cup, 100-1 shot. But really, you know, you're thinking that other horses would not give her the same amount of room and let her just control and dictate and just keep getting further and further in front. Like, she had them spread out so early and from about, I reckon, the turn. I reckon from nearly about the 400, you're going, mate, they can't get her. Oh, she's going to fall over.
The 1,000-metre mark, I was like you. I was like, I don't think they're catching her. Just as well, because we had the evidence of seeing that she can sustain speed for so long. Incredible. Incredible performance. And well done to, like, Kira Maher's reaction afterwards said it all. It was stunning to watch in a Group 1, a $5 million Group 1, to win like that.
Well, you're expecting the contest, aren't you? You're expecting to give it your all and roll the dice, and if you don't win, well, you've tried.
Did you get on?
No, I didn't. I was on the Via Sestina.
For the multi as well.
Yeah. So, as you can imagine, I was a little bit upset.
Well, she's had an incredible campaign. So, second in the All Stakes. Of course, Pride of Jenny won the Cantala back in November at Flemington. Second in the All Stakes. Won the All-Star Miles. Second in the Australian Cup. Won the Queen Elizabeth. So, she's a very, very good mare. And outstanding performance from Declan Bates and Kieran Maher there on Saturday. Also, we saw Autumn Angel win the Oaks. Gee, Orchestral thought it was way too short, and that proved to be the case there. Autumn Angel winning the Oaks. We had Circle of Fire winning the Sydney Cup and Zoo Gotcha. Oh, bloke next to me was heavily on a tissue in the establishment I was at on Saturday afternoon. I felt for him. And Zoo Gotcha just holding on there to win the Queen of the Turf.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, time now to have a look through the major papers and talk about the sporting headlines making news.
Zach Lomax, back page of the Daily Telegraph there. Lomax ready to go. Why $2.7 million for Zach is worth it is the headline there. Lord of the Wing. And there he is scoring a try there early in the match against the Tigers at Campbelltown yesterday. So 24-12, the Dragons over the Tigers in front of a sold-out Campbelltown Stadium crowd of 17,144. And Lomax was super loz. He scored early. He outlipped Jareem Buller as well to set up another for Kyle Flanagan. It was a good day out, and they will miss him when he eventually goes. And, well, apparently Parramatta are edging closer to signing him going forward from next year.
Well, he's found a home on the wing, hasn't he? Zach Lomax. I reckon all of a sudden he's firming as a potential origin player this season, playing out there on the wing. Very good under a high ball. Gets his hands dirty.
He's a good finisher.
Prepared to carry the ball. Good finisher. Good goal kicker. And you're right, Mido. It looks as though Parramatta is the team that he's going to land with. They must be sitting there, Parramatta, going, we're buying him as a centre. I've watched a lot of him play centre, and I haven't seen him play this type of footy before. Are we buying a winger? And we're going to find that out after 6 months. So they want to be sure that they can turn him into a top-class centre, because otherwise they'll get their salary cap out of whack if they're paying him a lot of money to play out there on the Bing and Sting. But, look, he's been outstanding this season, Zach Lomax. He's been their best player.
Safe for now. Rabbitohs chief backs Demetrio as losses keep on coming. That's on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald today. And spirited Rabbitohs save Demetrio for now on the back page of the Australian. There's interviews with the chief executive, Blake Solly, in both the News Corp Press and the Herald today. 34-22, the loss to Cronulla on Saturday night. They did lose Cam Murray, Tevita Totola and Tyrone Munro before halftime in that match. But Blake Solly indicating that they want to give Jason Demetrio the best possible chance to succeed. So it sounds like he will be coach after the bye.
Well, it sounds like Mal couldn't do the job or didn't want to at the end and choose between the Kangaroos and the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And then South thought, oh, geez, that was plan A. We might go back to plan B here. And the plan B is to give JD more time. I think that's one of the best news stories to come out of the weekend. Jason Demetrio surviving as South Sydney coach, because I think he deserves to. They just recently re-signed him. And, geez, there's some pressure on coaches. They win a lose a few games and all of a sudden people want them sacked. Give them the support that they need. Give them every opportunity to succeed. And then at the end of the year, if it's not working and you feel like you're not progressing, well, then you make a tough call. But you can sit down and have a lot more evidence than what you can after 4 or 5 weeks, I think. And I know they will look back at last season, but everyone says this season, last season is completely different. And there's different scenarios, different circumstances. So I think he's a very good coach. I think that over the next couple of weeks, if they continue to improve, and they've got, I think, Penrith and Melbourne coming up, so we'll get a good indication. Just give them a bit of time, give them a bit of confidence, and just see how South Sydney progress. There's no rush.
It's just the squeeze, though, isn't it? It's the squeeze from the media. It's the pressure. You know, 27 seconds the other day, he walked out after his, you know, media conference before the game. Players, when they win, get all the adulation. Coaches don't get a great deal. Players, when they lose the games, it just piles onto the coaches, doesn't it? You know, and it's not as if, you know, it's not as if they don't work hard either. Like they're there before the players, they're there after the players. The players come and go. You know, you ask them to do a job. And in the end, you can't make the tackle for them or make the commit when you're out in the field there. So it's a rock and a hard place for these guys. I don't know how these guys do it. And the successful coaches, I mean, it's interesting that The last thing, we're talking about with a mate last night at dinner. Bill Belichick, you know, back in the days of the NFL, there was a sign above the door on the way out. Just do your job, you know. Like, and if it comes down to that, that's what you're asking these players. Just do your job on the field, and we'll go okay. Mm.
There's always a sliding doors moment, I reckon, in all coaches' careers, and one where if they're given a bit of time, they always, I think, the good ones, they always prove people wrong. And they prove the doubt is wrong. They always get a moment where something happens in their career and it turns them around. I can remember Tim Sheens, like in 89 with us. Mate, he was under the pump and people wanted him sacked. People wanted him sacked halfway through 89. Yet the club said, no, you're the coach and this is who we're sticking with. And then we went on and won a premiership and then we won a couple more after it. Mm. But if the club had have made the decision then to get rid of him, where would we have been? You know, I just think sometimes we're too quick to to do the wrong thing and not allow our coaches to have every chance to succeed.
Just seeing that Cam Smith's got himself out of trouble at the eighth and made par. So he's still one under through the day and three under, or is he two under for the tournament? Two under, sorry. So he is five shots off the pace. Through eight holes of his final round. Now, on the back page of the Courier Mail, Jamal puts the boot in, and there he is kicking the field goal to beat the Titans there last night in Canberra, and Collision Course also on the back page of the Courier Mail. Broncos teammate set for Origin Showdown. Could it be Katoni Staggs facing his Broncos teammate Selwyn Cobbo when Origin 1 comes around? So 28-14, Brisbane over the Dolphins on Friday night. And Cobbo had a double. Reece Walsh also scored on his return. But the big injury news out of that game, Hemiso Tabuai-Fadou tore his hamstring out for up to 6 weeks, which could impact his Origin hopes. I remember last year, Loz, when we were going through the Queensland side, we thought maybe that's the weak point, but he was outstanding in the centres for Queensland last year.
Unbelievable, Hemiso. Just developed so much under Wayne Bennett as a footy player. Just speed and his ability to get himself into space is as good as you've seen as well. Someone that quick to have a hamstring injury. Well, Berkey, you might be able to tell me because you were a lot quicker than me. Did you have hammy problems?
No, I was all right.
Right. I'm assuming, and I would have no evidence to back this up, but I reckon if you're lightning quick, it'd take you a bit longer than
to get back
a normal person to get back and feel confident. Because I reckon when they run at that type of speed, they don't want to feel anything. They want to feel...
To put it very simply, I imagine it would be like the rev counter is at 7,000 revs where everyone else runs at about 4,000 revs. You know what I mean? So they're always on that stress point of breaking.
Yeah. So I reckon we could have got away with playing it with a hammy, not being at 100%, but being confident enough to go out there and get the job done. Those guys, explosive speed, I think for them, in their mind, that'd take a bit longer because they know that can go bang from 0 to 100 in 10 and then they sustain it and they're in pristine condition, so they wouldn't want to go out anything other than 100%.
No. They're the Ferraris in the garage. Yeah. Absolutely.